right, everybody, welcome in and welcome back to the Five Hole Taxi Squad Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We are back tonight on Thursday, February 29th. Did anybody know that it was a lunar year or whatever the hell it means in the 29th when there's the extra day in February?
Leap year.
Oh, there you go. Leap year. Alan's going to keep that in, Alan. I don't even care. Lunar year, leap year, whatever. Jay, start up those fares and let's get into it. All right, welcome in, everybody. We are back. Thank you, as always, for listening. We are here tonight on Thursday, February 29th, the year of the leap, as Alan would say, to correct me, because I said lunar in the intro. And we are back tonight for your week 21 week preview. We are back, your hosts, Craig, Jay, and Alan. What's going on, boys? Welcome back to the pod. Interesting night in hockey, some close games. Give me your thoughts. How are we doing tonight, boys?
I got to start with a confession. I forsook Elvis when he did not forsake me. Two games in a row against the Rangers. He put up respectable numbers and I put him on the bench because I thought that zero was worth more than what he would do.
And he was a hero, G. And you left him in the darkness, Alan.
The yeah, king. Dude, fucking 929 on Tuesday against the Rangers at the Rangers.
Yeah, well, this is goalies for you. Even tonight, look at Hellebuck. Hellebuck was like posting a 600 save percentage in the first period. He's bounced back in the second. Alan, I don't blame you for benching the king, but he is the king, right? Like, I know it's still Columbus. You have to believe in him sometimes, okay?
Right, well, he's got to take that crown and run away with it to another team. So I can feel confident about playing him.
The big takeaway here is randomly Devin Levi week 21 is just taking bullets, taking strays randomly.
I have to laugh about it, the Devin Levi situation, and I get what the Sabres are doing. But look, I also called him in the preseason that he could contend for the Calder. And well, goddamn, he's in the AHL and UPL apparently is a bona fide 1A starter. All right, well, let's stop just talking about hockey and get into this week 21 week preview. As we always do, we'll start in the infirmary and then take a look at some storylines that have caught our eye over the last 48 hours. Again, boys, it's nice to see this China starting to slow down for us in terms of injuries, but there's a couple of notes here that are a little bit disappointing. You know, I think all of us held, maybe not in high regard, but high hopes that Josh Norris would have an opportunity to bounce back this season after his shoulder injury. He has now sustained another upper body injury. The reports out there are not stating that it is in fact another shoulder injury, but it is suspected to be another shoulder injury, and he's going to be out for a long period of time. Mackenzie Blackwood, as we touched on a couple of shows ago, being right around league average goaltending, is now on IR for the San Jose Sharks with a lower body injury. So he's going to miss a minimum of 7 to 10 days. This is probably most relevant heading into any week where the Sharks have a good schedule. So now it's, what's a backup goalie again, Alan, that you always remember that I never do?
Oh, Kakkonen.
Yes, Kakkonen, the previously backup for the Minnesota Wild. So I guess monitor Kakkonen if you need volume starts and you have shots on goal as a category. But you know, it's unfortunate for Blackwood, who had been playing pretty well on a really not very good hockey team. A couple of positive notes in the goaltending world. Joseph Woll did make his return after almost 2.5 months out with an ankle injury for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. He did have a 30-plus save win against Arizona. He made 9 straight saves in the third period while Arizona had the goalies pulled. Before I go on a nice little goalie Leafs rant, and I can't wait to hear the listeners in terms of my Leafs bias here, any thoughts on the Joseph Woll, Ilya Samsonov situation in the Leafs land now that Woll is obviously back?
I was about to say, like, how much stock can we put in a win against Arizona.
Well, interesting factoid that I did hear on the broadcast, because I watched the game in its totality before I came on. The Toronto Maple Leafs did not have a regulation win against the Arizona Coyotes in 21 years.
Oh, stop. No.
I swear to God, that is what they said on the broadcast.
No, I saw that factoid too. Yeah. It's one of those, like, you don't want to believe it, but it's true.
They had not beaten the Arizona Coyotes in regulation until tonight for almost as long as Jay has been alive.
All it took was a literal boy from the desert for us to beat the Coyotes. My goodness.
I think overall, we talked about this before we came on, and I was going to go on a rant, but I'm not. You know, there's a lot of people out there that were trying to sell Samsonov at their trade deadline. I saw a couple of those conversations, whether they were selling high or trying to oversell him because of his value. For me, I don't see how this is not, you know, with the team playing well, pushing for, you know, top three position in the East. I don't see how this doesn't become a 50-50 split to try to keep them both fresh for the playoffs. So for those fantasy general managers out there, like, what do I do with Wall? What do I do with Samsonov? Most trade deadlines are gone and passed. You can't trade them. Honestly, with how the team is playing right now, you hold them. If they're your second goalie, you're even better off, because you maybe have somebody better in a more 1A position that's going to get the majority of the starts. But I think you continue to roll them when they're starting. I just think you're going to not have a volume starter rest of season from either of them. But that's my thought on that return, because I have seen some chatter, as you said, mentioned Jay before we jumped on, in some Discord stuff and some Twitter/X stuff, where they have been
Doomsday cult stuff.
Yeah, Doomsday cult stuff. You know, a couple of people saying that their savior of their fantasy team had returned. I hope that was sarcasm, because if Joseph Woll is the savior of your fantasy team, you got serious problems going into your playoffs, or your league is just super non-competitive, and, you know, good luck to you. A couple other of notes. Jack Eichel did practice in full. He removed his non-contact jersey this morning with the Golden Knights, but he did not play tonight, and he's not going to play in their games over the weekend. So it looks like he's getting close to a return, but it looks like it'll be next week sometime that he is back. But it looks like he's pretty damn close, boys. He's out of the red shirt. He's practicing in full. That usually means, you know, you're probably 1 to 2 more games away from returning. And then, you know, for those out there who have joined Allen in their Freddie Anderson journey, he appears to be ready to return from his blood clot situation. Brind'Amour touched on it after practice today, and I did see that, you know, both him and the GM were kind of speaking in tandem, saying that he is almost ready and will be ready and available sometime next week, but they did not confirm when. Alan, what do you think? Does he split starts with Kochekov? What?
Well, there's been talk that, like, oh man, but Ranta's coming back soon. I'm like, okay, all right. Last time Ranta tried to take the net, it was Kochekov got pulled. Ranta was in net, not even a whole period, and hurt himself. Again, wave Ranta, man. Like, wave Ranta. No one claimed him last time. And let's just run Freddie and Kochekov.
And really, Kochekov hasn't been great since he came back from his concussion. Like, he's been okay. But again, do you have to be great against the team that gives up the least amount of shots on goal?
Exactly. That's if you look at the shots against Kochekov in his starts, there are quite a few of them that are less than 20 shots against him.
I think good for you if you held on to Freddie. I still think he's going to split starts with Kochekov. You know, you're going to get wins from this team regardless. And if you're in a saves league, you know, a league that counts saves, you don't probably want these two goalies regardless how many wins they put up, because they're going to get like maybe 20 shots on goal.
See, I think with Freddie back, they'll open it up a little bit. I don't think they'll play as suppressive as they do with Kochekov.
So you're saying they're trying to protect the kid. That's not real.
Like I said, look at Kochekov's starts and how many saves he has. Like half of his starts are less than 20 shots.
I was looking and it kind of seems like they do a Jekyll and Hyde impression because it's literally he has 16 shots against and of course he lets in two so they lose. And then it's like he takes 45 fucking shots.
45 shot shutout. That's why I was like, oh, fuck you statistical outliers.
I find it interesting with Kochekov and I wonder almost as if this is his third season doing this where he's kind of been like taxied up and down and like, you know, he kind of like plays well and everyone talks about how great he is and then they kind of don't, you know, he doesn't get kept. I wonder if he plays better with a fire under him, kind of like when Ersin was like competing with Hart as opposed to when Ersin is just Ersin.
Yo, Ersin has been fine since Hart left the team. Okay, he's had a couple of roast beef sandwiches, but he's been fine. Okay, like we just talked about, Philly's still in a playoff spot. That ain't because of Pettersson who got waived, and it ain't because of Hart who's gone. It's because of Ersin and that system. And from don't you talk about the Viking like that, Jay? Okay, don't you talk about the Viking like that? And I think it's a very interesting time, boys. As we kind of, I'm about to step away from the infirmary, but I do have a couple of other. Another note, you know, somebody who's near and dear to our heart. It's not going to help the managers that have him tonight, but Troy Terry's not playing tonight. He's out with something undisclosed, and he did not travel with the team on their road trip that they just left on. I also saw that Kempe is now considered week to week, but he will be back in sometime in March. It's going to be like mid to long term. It's not going to be long term, so he's going to be back before the end of March, based on the most recent report. And then, you know, boys, I don't know how we want to touch on this. Just like their position eligibility for Terry Lehkonen, Yahoo can Lehkonen my balls with this horrible updating and positioning and updating of people coming off IR. You know, Jay's favorite defenseman, Yanni Hakanpaa, came off IR tonight, but Yahoo released the update after the Stars game started. How does that help anybody? Like, good Lord. And then like, okay, cool. I want to pick up Lehkonen because he's on the top line and the top power play, but he's still kind of lukewarm at this point. He's only left wing eligible. Like, oh, I can't really fit him into my second place team. So I'm just going to wait to see what happens. Boom. Dual eligibility. Boom. Gone. Everywhere that he was available. Like, what the fuck? Come on, Yahoo. Like, let's be better. Just be better. Help the people that help you out. Be better at fantasy hockey. And let me get the guys that I want before Allen does. When I'm facing him in a week that is critical for playoff positioning in the listener league. I have come all the way back.
Critical for me, not for you.
I have come all the way back from the basement and I am fantasy relevant in that league now. So don't you take this away from me, Alan. Don't you take it away. I am here to spoil everybody's fun for the next three. What is it? How many weeks we got left? Four?
3 weeks.
4 weeks. 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
I'm going to ruin everybody's fun who's trying to make the playoffs. I'm going to finish seventh and I'm going to be like, look at you. Assholes, I came from the basement to do this to every single one of you. And then Jay's gonna go win it so we have credibility and we don't look like a bunch of chumps in our own league. But I'm digressing because I'm fired up here. Damn Yahoo and their position flexibility. And then the last one I wanted to know, boys, was Minnesota and Billy Guerin confirmed that they are not going to move Marc-Andre Fleury at the deadline. He's going to stay and they're happy to have him there and they don't want to move him because he's been in rumors potentially going to a contender. So he's not moving. So that I think that's good news for Minnesota because they've gotten kind of up and down goaltending from the Gus Bus and from him all season long. But Minnesota's got their work cut out for them in terms of trying to make the playoffs. And then last but not least, I don't know how fantasy relevant this is, but he does things in a Bangers Cats. He was potentially a Leafs target. Personally, I'm glad we didn't give up any assets for this man. He's 34 years old. He's going into his UFA year. Chris Tanev got dealt to the Dallas Stars in a three-way deal with Calgary and New Jersey. New Jersey was part of it for salary retention. I didn't really know that Dallas needed a stay-at-home shutdown defenseman. They have a pretty good defensive core.
I don't know, man. They looked shallow real quick when Lundqvist and Jakimpod taking turns being out.
Yeah, but to me, in a couple of games that I watched, like that was because their forwards stopped scoring and their goalie stopped stopping the puck. It didn't have anything to do with their defensive core. I agree that Lundqvist is a nice young piece. From everything that I read, there was no talk of Dallas targeting a guy like Tanev in the market. I saw them looking for more forward depth, which is insane because they are like one of the deepest forward teams in the league, you know, led by the ageless wonder Joe Pavelski, who had 3 points tonight. But let's give the people what they want. I will take my leave from the driver's seat. I will hand it back to Alan. And Alan, why don't you tell the people what they're looking at from a schedule optimization and our preferred streamers for week 21 before Jay drives into a little deeper strategy discussion after that.
Yeah, God, man, he left me at the eighth of a tank. Best schedules. You got Arizona, Calgary, Chicago, and Toronto with 4 games, 2 off nights, Boston, Columbus, Edmonton, Florida, Nashville, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, with 4 games, 1 off night, and then kind of an honorable mention, Anaheim and Colorado have 3 games, and all 3 of those games are on off nights.
Alan,
the worst schedule. Oh, what?
I just want to pause you there. Jay's not going to get this reference because he's 17 years old, but this week. This week is like the GIF with Nicolas Cage from Con Air. That's like coming out with his long, luxurious, weak hair, looking at the sunlight, just like. It's like heaven opened up from a streaming perspective. You can stream everyone.
Oh, man. But yeah, the worst schedules. New York Rangers have 2 games, but one of them is an off night. So that helps you a little bit. And then Tampa Bay and Washington both have 2 games, both on busy days. For streamers, Lehkonen, like we talked about, just go check on him. He was 47% earlier today. Just gained right wing eligibility. I am part of the 47%. And then Nick Schmaltz.
The bell of the ball.
In Arizona, once again, center right wing, 20%. 4 points in his last 4. Line 1, power play 1. Those guys aren't on, don't grow on trees this point in the season. And then Rickle Rackle in Ricky. Pittsburgh. Jay Rex. And I kind of talk about him in the weekend previews. But right wing, 37%. Wiki. 5 points in his last 4, and he is line 1, power play 1 to thrust out. So he is absolutely doing something with that increased deployment.
He's been spicy since Rust went out, for sure. 100%. Yeah. And if you guys talk about Jonathan Drouin in this show, I'm going to get up.
Oh, God, no, leave. Dude. I think he's taken enough beatings from me. Even being somewhat relevant this season. Last one's Tyler Bertuzzi, left wing, 22%. Recently promoted to power play 1, suck at John Tavares. He's got 4 goals as part of 5 points in his last 3 games. I think he even had a goal tonight.
He did. He scored again tonight.
That so second line now is a little spicy with Nylander, Bertuzzi, and Domi. I think they heard what you said in the other episode that, you know, you got to let Domi score on goalies so they get pulled, like, immediately. That is just no bueno.
He did score tonight. He's got 3 in 3 games. And he hit the post on an empty net, so he should have had two tonight.
There we go. In an alternate timeline, he had 2. But goalie streamers, Blackhawks goalies, I mean, I'm sure they're both available. Mrazek, I think I looked today, was like 33% owned. I think their schedule is 2 back-to-backs. Yes, 2 back-to-backs, and 2 of those games are against the Coyotes. I don't know if he gets either one of those. But there you go. Sludge match this week. Stolarz. We were talking about him before the show. The Panthers have a back-to-back during the week. And he's been over 910 save percentage, at least before tonight anyway, in his last 4 with 1 shutout. And then 0G hero controversy here. Grubauer, probably someone to keep an eye on. He is starting tonight. He's 19% right now. And he, before tonight, had started 2 of their last 3. With 906 and 905 save percentages. So just a smidge above league average.
Joey Decord, we salute you.
Exactly.
Good day. Your time
may be coming to an end. But big boy bangers, anytime Nashville's got a good enough schedule, Jeremy Lazan, enough said. Kind of a surprise one to me, looking at trends. Martin Pospisil, the Popsicle Man on Calgary, center right wing, 3%. He's had at least 5 hits per game in his last 7 games, which is crazy. I don't think he was a guy known for that at the beginning of the season. And then Trent Frederick on Boston, center right wing, also 21%. He's averaging about three hits a game in his last 6. But both Popsicle and Frederick do have that point upside. I think Frederick got something tonight. But with that, I will hand it to Jay.
Jay, we got our defenseman to replace Marner in the back end. Ilya Lyubushkin is coming to the Leafs.
I saw he got held out. Okay.
No, he got pulled from warmups. He was supposed to play in that game, and he just got traded back to the Leafs. What? So he played with the Leafs last year. He was okay, but there's another stay-at-home defenseman. He's coming back home, Jay. He's coming back home.
He hits quite a bit, too.
Does absolutely nothing offensively, everybody out there, so... But he is a good bangers filler.
Oh, come on. I haven't seen the highlights yet, but was Marner really that bad back there?
Yeah, he was fine. He was fine. Anyway. But it was against Arizona. So on another completely random thought note, because that's just in the mood I'm in tonight. Nick Bjugstad and McBain on Arizona for centermen in the NHL are monsters. Like, both of those guys are like enormous. Like, they made John Tavares look like he was like a 15-year-old boy playing AAA. Like,
I mean, he does wear those pajamas.
Like, just enormous specimens of human beings. Actually, Nick Bjugstad's in the trade rumors as well. Good solid line 3 centerman.
Yeah, no, he was a pest when he was in Florida.
He was pretty good for Pittsburgh in a couple of their runs as well, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Look, I like your Mrazek shout out for next week, but like, if he gets at Colorado and even at Capitals, and
he doesn't get one of
those Arizona games, like, ugh. I was thinking about picking him up in the listener league. Like, I don't want none of that. No That is not a good zero dough. That's a I gotta think of a negative thing to say. We have Hero G. We need a negative behind 0G. Like, what's worse than a 0G? A negative G? Like,
absolute 0G.
There you go.
Absolute 0G is a good
negative
one.
-1 0G.
I think even touching on what Alan mentioned as well, like, the insane part with Grubauer is the percentage is ticking. Like, I'm not saying you have to pick him up now, but I am saying you have to pick him up now. Like, he was at 19% when Alan mentioned. I looked just now, he's now at 20%. So it looks like people are already, you know, picking up on the train. And for us non-Grubauer holders and Joey DeCord faithful, I apologize profusely. I am with you in the same boat, but this might be the Titanic and it's just sinking, you know, like, it is what it is. We'll see for the start come Saturday.
As you guys said, DeCord cannot hold back the weight of that anchor of a contract that Grubauer has. It's suffocating him under, you know, Jack and Rose as the Titanic pushes on his chest. That is the Gerber baby. And he's just like, just hold on, Joey. Just hold on.
There's not enough room on the door. Yeah, there was, you bitch.
Isn't there room enough for both of us?
Yeah. Can't you help me up? What's wrong with you?
Just give me a few breaths. Anyways, all right, we're going really hard into the James Cameron quotes here. In week 21, you have a couple of strategies going over. I almost said first there are no teams to hold from week 20 Sunday over into week 21, and I stand by that. Now, there is one team that is a fascinating target team drop that could also function as an ad. Mind you, we advised against holding this same team in week 20. But if you still have New York Rangers on your roster, and if you can fit them on the week 20 Saturday, you could potentially hold them over into the next week and drop them after the Rangers play on week 21 Monday, right? Because they play only 2 games and then they still have Monday games, so you could target that team. That's probably the biggest stretch for any team that's a possible target hold from week 20 Sunday into the next week. But in terms of target team drops, just like Alan mentioned, the Rangers, Tampa, Washington, it's Alexis Lafreniere because he's 44% owned, dual eligible. I couldn't actually see. I'd have to like look at his box score to see what like he's getting, but I believe it's line two deployment and power play two deployment as well. And I mean, aside from him, like you don't really have many other options that are offensively potent weapons. And I mean, Lafreniere was getting a pretty good, he was doing pretty well. I remember I streamed him in certain leagues, in some leagues, the Listener League, for example, as well, and he was getting goals. Aside from him, though, you're looking at Keandre Miller, right, where he's getting D2 only 40% ownership, getting no power play time. And aside from that, the Rangers, you're looking at, what, 3% Will Cooley on the left wing. So the Rangers are a tough team to stream as is. The team is most likely droppable. And of course, always remember to drop Jonathan Quick. He's a great streamer, but he's very likely not going to play any games in week 21. Tampa also has two games. They play on heavy nights, and there's, what, Nicholas Paul, Anthony Cirelli. There's, what, 13% ownership, 5% ownership. Like, these guys are certainly valuable on a week that Tampa plays heavy nights. But even for week 21 and for week 22, Tampa plays solely two games. This is not going to be the team that carries you streamer-wise into the playoffs. Drop hard at these guys so you don't get anchored down to any of them. With Washington, there are a couple of players. Now, Tom Wilson is really, I think he's probably outperforming his ownership value at the moment. He's only 45% owned, but lucky for you, he's currently day-to-day. So put him on your IR Plus and then still use the freed-up spot to add players. Dylan Strome is another player to remember that, well, you can, just as you added him for week 20, make sure you drop him again for week 21. These are the weeks, right? Like, you have to win all 3 weeks in some cases in order for you to be relevant and it's alive for the playoffs. So you need games, and Dylan Strome on the Washington Capitals is not going to give you that this week. In terms of winning your week early and getting some games played value, there are several teams that play on the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. So there's Boston, Chicago, Columbus, Florida, St. Louis, Seattle. And I guess we'll go quickly first. So Chicago is a, what, like, so the Seth Jones, he's at 49% ownership, which is pretty incredible. But over in half the leagues, over in half of the leagues he's not owned, take him up. You know, like, this is a good early Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back that you want access to a guy that plays 25-plus minutes a night. Nick Foligno, right, with Connor Bedard back, is 9% ownership, getting power play one time together with Bedard. You want access to that. Jason Dickinson's, he's been serviceable as well with only 6% ownership. If he's available in the league, definitely pick him up too. Yeah, Mrazek is, he's played better than average, right? His save percentage is literally better than average, but he's not likely to get any wins for you, so I'm so excited for the next team because this team has played three games in what feels like forever weeks in a row. But the Boston Bruins, right? They are the Eastern juggernaut that we almost just forgot because, you know, what kind of team is able to just lose a player of Patrice Bergeron's stature and continue juggling straight along as if nothing was different? The center that has played a central role in that is Charlie Coyle, 54% ownership. He's centering the top line. He gets power play two time. Trent Frederick was mentioned as well, right? He's only 21% owned, dual eligible. He doesn't even get any power play time, but he just bangs, right? 141 hits in 60 games. You got Jake DeBrusk, right? He's at line two, power play one, dual eligible. He's 37% owned. Pavel Zacha, like, dude has done a straight skydive down in the ownership rankings because he's got line one for all that time and done pretty much nothing with it. Right now he's line two, power play two, but at 35% ownership on a good week scheduled, heck, I'll take that gamble. Morgan Geeky, 5% ownership, gets power play one access to Marchand. He gets access to McAvoy and of course Pasta. JVR at 8% with power play 2 is still kind of sneaky, but you basically need JVR to score in order for that left wing stream to be worth it. And I think immense value in terms of returning value for ownership is definitely Kevin Shattenkirk. Dude is D3 pairing. He gets power play 2. He's at 1% owned, and that power play 2 setup on, you know, the top team in the East makes it so that, heck, I'll take a gamble if he's almost definitely available in your league. Columbus has, I guess, several options to choose from as well. There's obviously Boone Jenner. He's a 56% ownership. He's ticking up from the 34% he was at before. Center left wing eligible, line one power play one. With him is Johnny Gaudreau, right? 57% ownership, left wing, line one power play one. And then you have a bunch of these line two power play two guys that are seriously offering great value and very lowly owned. Both of them at 13% ownership. Kirill Marchenko, he's the right winger, and opposite him, Dmitry Voronkov on the left wing, line two, power play two guys. Elvis, 24%, he's the king. And I don't know what the trade setup and situation would look like, but right now, even as he is standing head and shoulders above anybody else in Columbus, I mean, unless you really believe in Daniil Tarasov, he should get sole run in the crease. Florida's got a couple of guys as well. I was trying to look. Sam Bennett, 31% center only, gets line two, power play two. And then it really depends on your league after that, right? Like if your league counts bangs like our listener league does, then you have a couple of guys that are still pretty relevant, like Nico Mikola, like D2 guy, 3% owned, but he just does so much peripherally that, you know, he stays relevant. Evan Rodriguez is still tri-eligible in terms of position eligibility. I guess Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I wrote him in too. He gets power play two. We're going to move on, okay? But the other notable mention is Anthony Stolarz, who even tonight, normally Stolarz gets, I guess, one start in every 3 to 4 games, but he started for the second time in 3 games, which is interesting. I'm not saying he's taking over Bob's net by any stretch of measure, but it is worth noting that this team is winning a lot. And by a lot, it's not reliant solely on Bobrovsky. Like, even tonight, Stolarz, you know, like, they played against Montreal, and Montreal put up a good fight, but, you know, Florida still came out the victor. And how many games has Stolarz won in a row? This is his third straight start and third straight win, but he's won, what, 5 of his last 6 starts? Like, this is a good goaltender on a hot Florida team, and maybe if their goal in Florida is for them to rest up their starters and give them a bit of a breather going into the playoffs, keep an eye out on 25% owned Anthony Stolarz. This is a potential late fantasy hockey season and rolling into fantasy hockey playoffs. It's these sorts of unsung heroes, and I guess with players with ability to take the run all the way in, that can make or break your season. I'll just rattle off a couple of St. Louis players. There's Parayko with D1. There's Braden Schenn. He gets power play 2. Jake Neighbors gets power play 1. Torrey Crew gets power play 1. All those guys are under 35% owned. You can just go look and see who's available on St. Louis.
Some spicy stuff out of St. Louis today, too. Apparently, they're shopping Pavel Buchnevich leading up to the trade deadline and Parayko. I can't wait for our next show after the live show on Saturday. It's going to be spicy, spicy, spicy.
That is great value for all the remaining players, as we mentioned to listeners before. Like, people will think heavy, heavy, heavy of, you know, the Elias Lindholms that leave the Flames, and it seems like they're going to foster into pastures anew. Very few people remember, in the same vein, the Backlunds and the Kadris that remain and have.
You know who's been the best player from that trade? Nazem Kadri has been the best beneficiary of that trade from a fantasy perspective. He has been essentially fire since Lindholm left town. He looks like the Kadri from the Colorado days, all of a sudden, getting line one, power play one. Who knows what Calgary is going to look like at the end of next week. Good Lord. Pospisil, your boy, Alan, he might be fantasy relevant come next weekend. He might be a top line center or top line winger by that point.
Or the non-suspended Leafs version of Kadri as well.
They're going to leave Markstrom in an empty room, just be like, where the hell did everybody go?
latest rumor is Markstrom's being held.
Yeah, well, I saw a couple of reports interesting, and I know we're digressing again, but it's fun because it's the perfect time of year to digress on these rumors. I saw that there was a deal in the works for Markstrom earlier in the year with New Jersey, and it fell apart because Markstrom wouldn't waive his no movement to go there. he didn't want to play in New Jersey.
See, I thought I heard he had, and it was
he had waived.
I don't know. Jersey got skittish or something.
Jersey bailed on it. Hmm.
I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting.
I like the analogy that what's his face used on 32 Thoughts. It was like, it's a dance where the guy likes the girl and the girl likes the guy, but they're both too scared to make the move. And
just kiss the girl, New Jersey. Good Lord, you need goalie help. Just kiss her. Get the king. Get the king. He's probably cheaper than Markstrom at this point.
I mean, if they got Cap to help facilitate salary retention in a trade, they can get Elvis.
Well, it's a perfect segue because I've also read reports over the last couple of days that New Jersey's also shopping Toffoli. And breaking, I don't know if it's breaking news, it came out about an hour and a half ago, Mark Stone is out the remainder of the season and will most look likely miss part of the playoffs with his lacerated spleen. So I think that definitely puts Vegas in the market for a top six forward. Who that might be, not sure. But Vegas needs some help desperately because the only person playing any form of hockey for them right now is Marchessault. Everybody else is really dragging their skates right now, and they are...
Man, his spleen is fine. Everyone knows it's all Cap circumcision. Come on.
Well, I was going to say, I've already seen some fire out there that they're pulling a Tampa, and like he's just going to rise from the ashes in game one of the playoffs. They're just making sure that he's hidden from a Cap perspective so they can bring in a Buchnevich or a Toffoli.
But at this point in the season, like how much salary are they actually gaining?
This is true. You should have hit him earlier, obviously, like when Cooch got hurt.
Yeah, I should have just been like, oh man, my back, and then play like two games every couple months.
Is it just me or is a lacerated spleen like a real, like that's an internal body injury that was occurred? Like did that what?
Cap circumcision though. That's all it is. We're move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, can't you just take that out? Like, you don't need a spleen. Just take it out, right?
Your appendix.
That's the appendix.
See, look, I'm not a doctor.
I think the spleen does some important stuff. Like, it sounds like a made-up word.
Yeah, the spleen's
word,
like the one. Yeah.
But it does some stuff.
It's like the one that gives you more oxygen or more blood or whatever, and it's actually important. The appendix is the one where it's optional.
Yeah, appendix, gallbladder. You don't need those.
So a lacerated spleen. Not good. Not good. Noted.
Speaking of other things that are not so good, not having a goalie play in a direct back-to-back, unless you own them, of course. And in the St. Louis case, that's unlikely to happen with Binnington, which is why Joel Hofer at 7% is a great St. Louis option as well to consider for your final St. Louis streamer. In Seattle, you have a couple of guys as well. We mentioned, first off, no matter what, it's Grubauer. It's, if you want, I'm starting to think this Grubauer train is going to, it's not left the station quite yet, but it's picking up steam, you know? Like, you know, the tickets are coming through, and I think it's one of those where if you want on the train, you got to get on soon. Well, I mean, I'm looking at Seattle's schedule and what they have, the back-to-back. So feasibly, no matter what happens on the back-to-back, you're going to get one of the two goalies playing. And Lord knows, I wouldn't put it past me if Grubauer ended up on an 8-goaler, you know, where he just got pulled in the first, or he just was allowed to sit through the pain. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but it's really important to monitor, listeners, the next few games for the Seattle Kraken, because I do think it will determine who's going to get tons of net share coming into the next few weeks, obviously, which are our fantasy playoffs. So other guys that are relevant there too would be Oliver Bjorkstrand. He gets power play 2 on the right wing. Adam Larson, well, he gets nothing, but he just hits and bangs basically, right? He's 39% owned. And I talked to Alan about it after a show, but Eli Tolvanen, he's kind of like the top fantasy performer points wise and like peripheral accrual and everything, but he's kind of, don't look at his last 14 or 30 game productions. You know, it's been a real torrid end recently, but if you want to believe in his early production, and hopefully that comes back.
He has 1 point in the last 30 days.
I know, he like bulked up to hibernate for the rest of the season.
It's 1 point in the last 30 days. Stop talking also, about Tolvanen.
Also, don't look at Tolvanen's most recent time on ice. He totally didn't have 11 minutes one of those nights. Don't worry about it. But if you believe in his early production and that it somehow can return, Ely Tolvanen, 32%. Booyah. We're going to move off the Monday-Tuesday back-to-backs and move on to the Monday-Wednesday off nights. So a couple of teams with Monday-Wednesday off nights, it's really literally only a couple. There's Toronto and there's Colorado. We'll tackle Colorado first because they do have a somewhat exciting, more exciting lineup as well. So Arturi Lehkonen, obviously, with 48% dual eligible, line one, power play one. You have to ride it just in terms of potential upside. You have to ride any access to the Makars, the Rantanens, the McKinnons. But it depends on how far you're willing to go with that power play one, because Lehkonen is the second last spot there. But the very last spot is the aforementioned Jonathan Drouin. So point noting, Drouin's still 13%. So, there's still time for you to hum and haw on that decision a little bit for power play.
And one. He should be 1.3%, especially with Nichushkin coming back next week. Hopefully.
Nichushkin, right.
He should be negative percent. Should be negative percent.
I can't believe I forgot to mention, but yeah, Nichushkin is back. Make sure you reactivate him from whatever spot you have in your league, your NA spot, I guess he could have sat in an IR plus spot, possibly.
Yeah, I think he was just out, or like IR non-roster.
Jay, I know it's exciting, but he hasn't been officially activated, I don't think. He's practicing, but I don't think they've officially activated him yet.
Right.
Yeah, so right. He's back and practicing, but they have not removed him from whatever that designation is on injured reserve and the tie back to the personal assistance program. It's still unclear when he'll return, but he's coming back at some point. So bye, Jonathan Drouin. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Some other peripheral guys that are definitely worth considering on obviously a very top-heavy stacked Colorado team as well. Josh Manson gets D2 pairing, 25% ownership. Ross Colton. Center left wing eligible gets power play 2, as does Sammy Girard, 9%, worth looking. And no teams have a Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back, so you don't have to focus on that setup. But if you're looking for Wednesday, Friday off-night setup, you also have, in addition to Colorado, so very feasible too that you get a Colorado team early, and then you can drop them for a potential Saturday, Sunday back-to-back team to get a 5 games played advantaged schedule. But aside from that, you can grab Anaheim and from Detroit. So, one second. We're going to double back to our Monday, Wednesday off nights, because I totally forgot about the one team that I'm a fan of myself, Toronto. There's a couple players that are worth rostering there too. Tyler Bertuzzi with power play 1 now. I don't know how long that's going to hold. Jeez, I think Tavares has been power play 1 for the past 6 years, ever since he came to Toronto. So this is a big seismic move for the Leafs to move on from.
No, it's not, Jay. Tavares. It's something that Keith should have done like 2 years ago. Spread the scoring out. Play your top 9. Stop relying just on your top line. And John Tavares and Willie Nylander. This is what makes a complete team. Depth, scoring. Good Lord. Like, I know Willie's doing Willie amazing Willie things, and Matthews is having, pushing 70 goal pace at this point, and Marner is Marner, and okay, great things are happening with our top 3 players, but this is the first year I remember in a long time where you finally seeing Keith coach the way he should be, actually playing his other players. And if you say Reeves, I'm gonna reach across this virtual camera, I'm gonna hit you. Reeves can't skate.
Where is Reeves?
He's in the fourth line and he cannot skate. I don't care if he could fight. Stop playing him. For the love of God, he can't be on the playoff roster. He can't skate.
Well, we should definitely grab what's his name, Bobby McMahon and Nicholas Robertson, and those two guys definitely should hold the spot. I guess I can't believe I didn't mention them actually. Yeah, check to see. Bobby McMahon had a hat trick game. Geez, it feels like forever ago now, although it probably wasn't. Oh, yeah, it was forever ago, February 13th, right? So he had a hat trick game a while back, a couple weeks back, and Nicholas Robertson also. Like, these guys are geez, these guys are pitifully owned, like 11%, 1% ownership. I guess soft spot too. He's rookie right now. Matthew Nyes, right? 11% gets plays on the first line. Max Domi gets power play 2. Jake McCabe gets power play 2. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not quite as exciting as Colorado. Just go to Colorado first. But if you need off nights and Colorado's all taken up, check the Leafs. Okay, now we're going to head back to the other off nights for Wednesday and Friday. Anaheim and Detroit. Detroit, real quick, has Lucas Raymond. He's just over 50%. I'll still mention him. 52% left right wing, power play 1. And then another guy on power play 1 is probably of immense value. JT Compher, 18%. Power play 1, line 2. So definitely check him out. And if you needed some perifs in D, Ben Chiarot, it's always good. 6% send D2 value. So then I guess for when the other team on the Wednesday, Friday off night is Rodko Gudas, Adam Henrique, Mason McTavish, Cam Fowler. I guess of all those, Rodko Gudas, like a 53% ownership, he gets no power play time, but he shouldn't be available to roster given that he does so much peripherally. I know Alan mentioned with Adam Henrique that he gets he has whisperings in the wind of a potential trade. So hold on if you want for this week and see what happens. You might be holding him almost over the trading period as well. Mason McTavish, I think with power play 2 time, that's pretty fairly evenly keeled, is still a good value pick. Cam Fowler, I see him constantly listed as power play 1, but I don't know how much he actually gets deployment wise. And I don't.
You don't have to be so nice, man. Stop buttering the toast, Jay. Cam Fowler sucks. Okay? He sucks. That's why you don't see him on the box scores, or you don't know where he is, or why he's not on power play 1. He sucks.
It's not a free skate, but he's basically run into a couple of, what do you call them, bumper cars around the way, and that's pretty much his semi-free skate game. But I will say in terms of Anaheim, great value for the setup is John Gibson, because he's been dropping. He's now at 37% ownership, and you'd think with the team playing all those nights, they're either going to run Gibson 2 games or even 3 straight. The value for Lucas Dostal is kind of low then, because you realistically, you're thinking of one start or none. But John Gibson at 37%, I think that's a good week-long goalie stream if you're running a 0G strategy.
I would rather have him than Mrazek, and point proven tonight. Mrazek is getting lit up by the Colorado Avalanche right now. And then they play them again on Monday. It is currently 4-0 Colorado in the second period. Oh, sorry. It's in the third. It's 4 minutes in the third, and they have 21 shots on goal.
This is torrential. But aside from that, that is your early week 21, I guess, deep dive streaming strategy. I will throw back to Craig.
This is what happens, boys, when I come back to the pod after 2 nights of business drinking with Japanese executives. We're all over the place, and I spin the wheel. We're just doing we're doing donuts, and we're doing spin outs, and we're just everywhere. So at least I think we gave the people some fantasy goodness. So as we always do, we'll wrap our week preview for week 21 with the streamers of the week, our top choices, the guys that we're going to be targeting in our leagues for our fantasy hockey teams. So, Jay, why don't you take it away? And I just want to thank you, as always, going deep for the people and taking some very risky biscuits where you probably could have finished last in a given week. But good for you. Good for you.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I love the James Conner style setup in a great, great volume player on a shitty ass team. So sorry, all Chicago Blackhawks listeners out here. But, you know, Seth Jones, 49% ownership, incredible, right? He gets all the minutes. He's going to play his heart out. And, I mean, they're probably still going to lose 5-1. So,
did you ever imagine that you would hear incredible and play his heart out in a sentence for Seth Jones, Alan? Like, this is...
Yeah, he's going to play it out of his chest because he's playing 30-35 minutes a night.
He's just I just love that Jay's commitment to the schedule and his love of
his love of Seth Jones.
Yes, and his love of Seth Jones out of any defenseman out there. It's just the commitment to that. It's just glorious to see.
And I still somehow fucking miss him on the Listener League waiver wire. God damn it.
How did you drop a man? How did you drop a man that you love so deeply and just let him into the wild and let Grizzly Bear take him from you? Like, how did you allow this to happen?
Anywho, we're not going to continue the Twilight tragedy story reminiscent. Okay, we're going to move on. There's Nick Foligno. Moving away from the tragedy that is now an additional tragedy because we stay on with the Chicago Blackhawks. But hey, Connor Bedard came back. He's returned from injury. Nick Foligno's the left winger on his line. Heck yeah, we are going to ride hard with the Chicago Blackhawks. They are going to try to get the second best chance at drafting whomever the top prospect is next season, and they will fail miserably because that team is going to end up losing the most anyway. They will out-tank the San Jose Sharks, and you heard it here on the Leap Year Day first. The Chicago Blackhawks are going to out-tank the San Jose Sharks and be the 32nd best team in the league.
Alan, before I spin out the wheels here on the van cab, why don't you give the people your streamers of the week for week 21?
Oh, yeah. I'm going my safe bet with Tyler Bertuzzi. And then I am going high risk, high reward on this one. Jonathan Huberdeau, 42%. Actually, if you look at his last few games, I think he has like 5-6 points in his last four.
Are you sure you guys haven't been drinking with Japanese executives for 2 days?
Dude, they love their karaoke. Come on, I can't hate.
Yeah, I know they do, Alan. And it's hard to keep up, okay? Especially when my children wake me up at 5:45 both day mornings afterwards. And then I have to do it again the next day. Before we get to mine, we'll do Matty K's because he's not with us. He's doing Nick Schmaltz from the Arizona Coyotes and Gustav Nyquist from the Nashville Predators. As Alan said, I think Schmaltz has 5 points in his last four. Gustav's also on another little bit of a heater. But again, high risk, high reward players. I did see that Clayton Keller is most likely back this weekend. So at least Schmaltz gets his BFF back. That should help him in terms of his productivity, getting their best player back in the lineup. And then to finish things off, my streamers of the week for week 21, I'm going with Ricky Rax from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And even though I don't like him, he still has an opportunistic deployment and does multiple things across all categories. Samuel Benat from the Florida Panthers. That's it, boys. Let's park that van pit cab. But before we do that, let's thank all our listeners, as always, for listening. We invite you to follow along, subscribe, and leave 5 stars wherever you get your fine fantasy hockey goodness or wherever you subscribe to the channel. It helps us get the show out to new listeners out in the wide, wide world. We'd also invite you to join us if you're not already in there. Get your asses in there in the 5-hole Discord channel. We have 2,500 plus strong individuals in that community talking all things fantasy hockey and life in general. You'll find all 4 of us in there at any given time. If you have any fantasy hockey questions, you can reach us through DMs on the Discord or in the Taxi Squad hotline, the episode discussion, or the Thursday mailbag channel. You can follow us all on Twitter/X. You can find our handles in the show notes. Unfortunately, I think it's just going to be Jay and Alan this weekend. Maybe.
Let's just say you never know who you're going to see.
Oh, especially
on Sit Start Saturday sometimes.
We are back again, once again, on March 2nd, Sit Start Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to answer any of your start sit questions you may have for your Saturday slate of games. And with Jay and Alan, there might be a special guest. Tune in and find out and get your questions in, whether it's through the Discord or jump on with us live and hit us up during the show. We're usually on for about 45 minutes to an hour. But for now, Jay, why don't we turn off those fares? We'll see the people next time. Thank you, as always, everybody, for listening. Licking my balls, Yahoo. We'll be back real soon. It's all love, people.
Make sure to wash your balls if you want someone to lack them.
We'll pick you up later.